Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's Monday, September 19th, 2022. Thanks for being here with us today. And to put it into a little bit of historical perspective, today is the day of the Queen's funeral, that long procession that probably a lot of you saw, okay, certainly on the news, etc. Okay, and there's so much for the Queen. God save the King. And we got Howie. There's a great segue. So we've got Dr. Howie Knopf here. Howie is the president of Product Achieve. It's Educational Solutions Professional Development. He's based out of Little Rock, Arkansas. He works with school districts all over the country. And today we're going to talk about three keys to 2022-23 success for school districts. And I'll give you a hint there: strategic planning, social-emotional learning, and multi-tiered social services. But we have to plan these things out. And that's what Howie's going to be talking about today, how to plan them out, why it's important, what you can do, how he can help you, et cetera, et cetera. It's always going to be always fun when Howie's over here. Okay, we're going to archive the show over at h-ed.org. That's our home website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And over there, you can see our magazine, which is called Equity in Access. Just click on the cover and enjoy a really good back-to-school issue. And we have teacherretention.com, which has a lot of great professional development ideas on there to make sure that we keep great teachers teaching, teaching well, and teaching happy. Okay, so please go over and check that out. Again, it's linked at ace-ed.org. SELtoday.org is also linked there. Our Excellence in Equity Awards program is winding down, but you can still nominate folks through the end of September. Go ahead, just click on awards. And, of course, we'll archive this podcast there. You can see it all there. Everything's linked, ace-ed.org. And God save the Queen. Here's Howie. That's a good segue, Howie. That's the best yet.
That is the best yet. We didn't need to lose the Queen in order to have that, but
yes.
We'll leave it alone.
Yes, and actually Howie's last name, Knopf, begins with a K, so I prefer to say God save the Ing. The Ing. How's that?
There you go.
Not bad. Not bad. God save the Ing in honor of Howie. Okay. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Larry?
Well, fine. No leaves have turned yet here in Maine. We're waiting for that to start, and it will soon enough. Okay, but
all right.
It is getting to be September, et cetera. Is it warm? What's the weather down there in Arkansas?
It's ridiculous. We're up in the mid 90s this whole week. Yep, it's still summer.
Really?
Yep.
Mid 90s. I said, wow. Yeah, we're in the 60s today, low 60s. So, Okay. Wow, that's it. Howie, I'm shocked. Wasn't expecting that one. Okay. All right. This is good. Howie goes to school districts literally all over the country, and gives them some great ideas, great planning, et cetera, et cetera. All right. It's all Project Achieve Educational Solutions. Okay. ProjectAchieve.org, right? ProjectAchieve.org?
No, .com. Dot info.
Both of us got it wrong. Okay.
Yeah, really.
Projectachieve.info. There you go. You can check it all out over. It's got some great stuff at that website, by the way. Okay. All right. Three areas that are going to help schools to be more successful with their students this school year. And I just did a show with Amy Valentine over at Future of School. You know, 75% of kids, okay, in a recent survey from Yale, okay, said they were not happy at school. All right. And, you know, we have to work very hard to be successful with our students. I just want to say this, you know, they're the customers, and the customers are changing.
Yes.
And, you know, we got to be aware of this. And they're not only are they changing just because they're digital natives, okay, but they're also changing. You know, we're in a bureaucracy, which is education. That has to move forward. Okay. We have to be thinking ahead. And they're coming out of a pandemic. So the world's changed. So we got to work hard to be even more successful this year than ever. Get the kids happy. And if the kids are happy, believe me, it's a thing of yourself working in a retail store. If the customers are grumpy, you're going to be grumpy. But if the customers are nice, you're going to be nice. It's that simple. Okay? So it's all about teacher retention, teacher success, and all these things. Three keys to 2022-23 this school year success? Well, go down the list and help us out. How are you not?
All right. Well, I mean, we've always had to have these things. It's just that we've got to do a better job at it. And especially right now, given some of the things that you've just outlined, and we look at the attitudes, the expectations, the beliefs, the affect right now of the students, but also of the teachers and similarly of the administrators. And so, you know, we've all got a hard job to do. It's been compounded by the pandemic. We all know the outcomes right now. We've been talking for the past year and a half, 2 years about the academic achievement gap, and then we've got the NAEP scores and so on. But we've got to show some real outcomes.
Yes.
We've got to not just have aspiration. We've got to have some kind of, you know, of determination to get to the outcomes that we want.
Good point.
So
good point.
What are the basic outcomes that we need? And again, it's easy to start globally, and it's got to drill down. But we've got to make sure that our students, from a developmental perspective, preschool through high school, are learning the academics, not just getting good grades, not just passing their courses, but learning the specific content and skills in the open sequence, and they're progressing. So it's real learning. And then we've got to make sure that we're helping our kids with social, emotional, and behavioral self-management. We've got to teach the kids, not just talk about it, teach the kids the interpersonal skills that they need to be successful. And again, that varies from preschool to high school. We've got to teach them the social problem-solving skills, the conflict prevention and resolution skills, and then the emotional awareness, control, communication, and coping skills. And certainly we've got to reach out to the home and do this in a collaboration with the parents, especially on the social, emotional, and behavioral. But we've got to do this in a systematic way. We've got to do it in an outcome-based way. We've got to measure the student outcomes. And honestly, not just with tests like the NAEP, okay, our state proficiency tests, those give us a snapshot. But sometimes the snapshot is not accurate. We've got to in the classroom, and that's where all of this needs to be anchored. We've got to in the classroom get the assurance that the students are learning the skills. And sometimes what's happening, especially right now with the pandemic, and we're looking at all these achievement gaps, is we're trying to do too much too fast with too little. We're not doing the professional development. We don't have the curriculum materials. We're not pacing it the right way, and that all gets back to the strategic planning. We've got to have the big picture, a 1 year, a 2 year, a 3 year perspective, but we've got to break it down into chunks, and we've got to resource it, we've got to train for it, and we've got to evaluate for it. And that's the essence of strategic planning. I'll give you a quick aside and then I'll let you jump in.
Go ahead.
I'm working with schools all the time, and those of you that have heard me before, you know that many of my schools I'm working with federal grants for 5 years. And we're just starting, next month, we're starting year four of a five-year run with school climate transformation grants. So I'm in these schools 40 days a year, so I get the picture. Not the entire picture, but the picture. I'm in New Jersey. I'm in Michigan. I'm in Oklahoma. I'm out in Washington State. And the thing is that when I'm working with them on strategic planning, we've still got these global goals. We're going to help kids to succeed academically. That's not a goal. We've been talking about SMART goals for, 15 or 20 years, trying to get these goals to be specific and measurable and actionable. And yet still, we're not getting where we need to go with some of our teachers and our support people.
Yeah, it brought up a whole bunch of things. And it's funny, you're really talking about the same kind of things that I was talking about with Amy Valentine. I don't know if you know Amy at Future of School, okay, which is a Colorado-based thing, all right? And it's wonderful. They're national in scope. And check it out if you don't know it, Howie and the gang, okay? But my, and just Future of School, www.futureofschool, but, and she's great. But, you know, my, the point is you're talking about strategic planning, okay? But then you're talking about it has to be anchored in the classroom. And I agree with both of those things, okay? But somehow, and you just made this point, we're missing the boat, okay? Somehow it's not gelling, at least not gelling as powerfully as it should be, all right? And so my question is, who's responsible for doing the strategic planning? All right, and we have talked, you remember we talked about this on the last show about planning committees in schools?
Right, exactly. Okay. That's where I was going to go, yep.
Well, there, I'll take it because, see, to me, we say the strategic planning just off the top of our heads belongs to the administrator, all right, the superintendent and his cabinet or her cabinet, all right? But my point is, okay, there has to be a sea change. And there has to be a real change so that what we plan strategically isn't by the people who aren't in the trenches, i.e. the classroom. Okay, talk about it, Howie. Go for it.
Well,
see,
and,
I listen,
you started.
See, Howie, I do listen to you, buddy.
You do? Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to take you on the road with me.
I get an A, Howie.
You do?
Yeah.
You've got to frame it out, but you've got to go up the staircase and down the staircase. Yes, you've got to have the district-level cabinet planning, but you've also got to have the planning down into the school and down into the classroom. You've got to have that shared leadership. You've got to have all of the voices figuratively at the table, but sometimes physically at the table. And so that shared leadership,
yeah,
where everyone in the school is on at least one committee. But again, you've got to have a blueprint. That's one of the things that I bring to the table. So you've got to have a committee blueprint. You've got to have a leadership team. But you've got to have curriculum and instruction committee that's represented by all of the constituencies, all of the teachers and support staff in a school. You've got to have a discipline behavior management or an SEL committee. You've got to have a professional development and teacher support committee. You've got to have a community family outreach committee. And you've got to have your multi-tiered team that's addressing the needs preventatively, strategically and intensively for the kids with academic and behavioral challenges. So ultimately, the job is about everyone, and the planning has got to be everyone. If we don't have the student's voice at the table, the teacher's voice, the related service, and the administrators, then we're not going to be able to get the biggest bang for the buck, which sometimes isn't doing so much stuff. Sometimes it's doing the right stuff rather than so much stuff. But that's part of the strategic planning. But the focus, again, has got to be on student outcomes, which means that we have to look at the data. See, that one of the keys here, and, you know, I don't want to oversell this, but, you know, as a consultant and working in these schools as much as I am, I know the people as well as I can, okay? But I know what's working, and we've got the data to demonstrate it, but we know what's not working. One of the things that I had to do just this past week in one of my schools is not just deal with kind of educational effectiveness. We had to deal with staff effectiveness. We had a situation, and it's been ongoing. It's nothing new. We've been doing it for 3 years. But we've got a couple of staff in the school that are blocking everything. And so the committees are meeting, but they're not accomplishing. And so I had to be the outside voice, because sometimes that outside consultant can say things maybe that other people inside are saying, but there's a referent power, and the outside consultant can say, look, this is what's happening. We got to get on this. And so sometimes, again, in strategic planning, in school improvement, on behalf of the kids, we have to deal with the difficult issues. Now, again, I didn't resolve it, but I just basically, you know, addressed the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And I said, look, folks, you guys are meeting, but you're not accomplishing, and here's what you're saying in the private corners of the school as to some of the reasons why we're not getting the accomplishments. And I did it with the superintendent in the room, with the building principal in the room, with the leadership team in the room. And if I was wrong, then I said, look, you know, I invited them. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. This is your school. I'm just an outside person who knows you but doesn't know you as intimately. But nobody said I was wrong. But nobody was able to address it in the kind of way that I was able to address it, because I'm the outside person. I can walk away and there are fewer implications. So that's part of strategic planning too. And it also, again, trickles down to the SEO and trickles down to the multi-tiered. If we're not delivering the strategic interventions that kids need along the multi-tiered continuum, at some point we've got to recognize it. And if sometimes the recognition is because of an outside person, then so be it.
You know, it's interesting, Howie. When you say they were blocking, some teachers said we're blocking it. Just give me a generic example. What were they doing?
Well, you know, let me broaden it in a more generic way.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And this is not gonna be an anti-union statement. Okay. I have seen unions across the country who work to the benefit of kids and in a very collaborative way.
Most
do they hold the administration accountable? Absolutely, and vice versa.
Well, they should.
But I've seen unions that they just get into this confrontational, draw a line in the sand mentality, and they're never happy. And so there isn't really a whole lot of collaboration. And sometimes I can remember this back in the days of my youth. I remember the union president in my very first school saying, look, if we've got to negotiate about the softness of the toilet paper in the faculty bathroom, then we're going to negotiate it. And that's insanity.
It is.
And the vast majority of schools are not at that level of insanity.
B-Y-O-T-P.
But my point
yeah,
is
you made your point, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, BYOTP. Okay. That's all I have to say. Okay, and you know, you're absolutely right. There's power plays involved, but the problem with the power play like that, okay, is that, and I'll say what I said at the beginning, if people are disgruntled or feel like that's a whole attitude thing, okay, and that's going to ruin everything. I mean, you just can't argue about everything. It's like at home, you can't argue about everything. Okay?
Exactly.
You brought up something that struck me though, Howie. You said that, well, you brought up a lot of things, but one of the things that struck me, you know, you're concerned about the strategic planning, all right, and the multi-tiered system, but we are all concerned about SEL. You put this in like a top-tier thing that you've got to have, if you want to succeed this year, you've got to have effective social-emotional learning. That's basically what you're saying.
Right.
All right? But I'm curious, prior to the pandemic, well, I'm just going to pick a year, 2013. Would you have said the same thing in 2013, or is it because of the pandemic and the way things are shaking out now that the social-emotional learning has become so much more important, at least in your eyes?
Right. All right. And let me do the front end, then I'll do the back end.
Go ahead.
Would I have said this in 2013? Yes. Would I have said it this way? No. Okay. What I was saying in 2013, as I was saying in 2004 and 2000, is that we've got to teach the kids, again, I don't want to be redundant, but we've got to teach the kids skills. We've got to teach them interpersonal, social problem solving, conflict prevention and resolution, and emotional control at all skills. Okay? That's what social emotional, and this is the back end, social emotional learning. See, we've got lots of schools all over the country that are doing what they think is social-emotional learning, and it's not. They're doing relationship building, which is a good thing. They're looking at their school climate, which is a good thing. But it's like this is the catchphrase. And in 2013, I was talking about positive behavioral supports. Okay? Earlier than that, I was talking about discipline, school discipline, classroom management, and student self-management. It's all the same thing, Larry. It's a semantic, and some of my colleagues will disagree. But from a scientific perspective, drill it down. If we're talking about school discipline, classroom management, if we're talking about positive behavioral supports, if we're talking about social emotional learning, what are the outcomes that we want? We want to teach, mm-hmm. we want the kids to use and apply their social skills, their interpersonal skills, their emotional control skills. It's all about the same thing. It's no different. We want to teach kids reading. We've got all sorts of different people that are talking about different reading approaches. We've got balanced reading. We've got this reading. We've got that. But what do we want? We all want the kids to learn how to read. And so in 2013, right. I would have framed it differently, but it would have been, it was exactly the same thing, because the framing I was framing for was to get people to listen. It was the same outcomes. I've been talking about the same things for over 40 years. But social emotional learning, we got it's basically, with all no disrespect, what we've got across this country is a bunch of mush. And we've got different vendors and different organizations, not-profit organizations, all running around trying to get a piece of the pie, and we keep forgetting what we're doing when we're in a classroom watching kids not getting along. Because, and it's not just me. I mean, there's thousands of me. But I'm in the classroom.
Yeah, there is.
Okay? The semantics don't matter in the classroom when kids are not academically engaged, when they don't know how to control their emotions. It doesn't matter what you call it. All we know is what we need to do to help our kids. And
so
that's
Howie,
the strategic planning.
But my question, I have this question all the time. I probably asked you a million times before. I agree with you, and you've been talking about this. I'll give you a break here and say 20 years, okay? Longer than that.
Okay.
Okay. But you remain 29 years old, okay?
That's right.
But you're welcome. But my point is, we need this, and I think most people would agree with you, okay? We need this. It's good. It's good stuff, okay? But most teachers still to this day are not trained in it.
No.
I mean,
no.
It's like you forget to teach a doctor how to use a stethoscope.
Right.
I mean, everybody wants the same thing, but nobody's bothered to train the teachers to do it. Okay?
Well, it's not just the training. It's the coaching. It's the follow-through. It's
absolutely,
the retraining.
Agreed. Well,
so it's all of that.
Like,
and again, that's one of the things.
It's fallen on people like you. Okay, they're not being trained to do this when everybody knows we need to do it.
Right.
They're still not being trained to do it. So what happens, they graduate, okay, they go into a school, and all of a sudden we got to start giving them what they really need.
Right.
Okay.
One of the things in that context, Larry, is that the number of professional development days in this country have plummeted over the past 10 to 15 or 20 years. And there's a lot of competition, obviously. We've got a new academic program. We've got a new reading program, a math program, and I get all that. But in some of my schools, what they're doing is they're doing release time. A couple of my school districts are actually basically on four-day weeks. But the fifth day is a professional development and a meeting day and a planning day and
so
on. So in some of my schools, what we've done is a lot of my training is online. So I have an entire course online for multi-tiered services from an organizational perspective all the way down to database problem solving. I've got an entire course on social-emotional learning and how to teach kids social skills with my Stop and Think Social Skills program.
Right.
I have an entire course on student stress and trauma, but from an intervention perspective. So what we're doing with some of my schools is that the teachers will do a self-study of, let's just say if it's a 15-module course, which the social skills course is. The teachers will self-study, do a flip learning. They'll do a self-study of the module online, and then we'll do a PLC Zoom call.
Nice.
Then they'll
Good.
Do the next
like
module.
That.
Then we'll do a PLC Zoom call. They'll
like
watch.
That.
In the social skills course, there's me doing demonstration, real demonstration lessons with real kids from kindergarten to sixth grade. So they'll watch me teach the third grade asking for help. And then we'll debrief it. So we've had to modify our professional development, and we've got more resources now. We've got online training. We've got Zoom that we can do virtual PLCs. So it's not impossible to do.
Exactly. Exactly. And your point's so well taken, Howie, because we've got the technology now. Okay, there's no excuses anymore. We've got the technology to make this work. Okay, and we just get stuck in a bureaucratic thing. I have to ask something. You said some of the school districts you're working with, are they on 4-day weeks all the time or just occasionally?
It varies. I mean, I've got a couple of schools, and I've had this in the past, that are basically on a full calendar year schedule. So they don't, you know, their summer is modified, so they're doing it that way. But, a number of my districts have gone to where the kids are there for 4 days, and then the Friday is virtual meetings or training or what have you. You know, and again, we're watching it because right now the early research on that is saying that the kids are not achieving at the same level as the 5-day-a-week kids. So we're keeping an eye on that.
Well, I would keep an eye on it, but I'll tell you, sometimes change is good and change is slow. It takes time for people to get used to things, okay? And, there's so many ways to think that through, that if you had a day of kids in school, no less, but unscheduled, where they could go to the teacher they need to talk to.
Right.
Okay, where the library's open, where the gym is open.
Yeah.
And where they could even do a 2-hour lunch, okay? That's a new way of thinking, okay? And the kids would look forward to that day. I'm going to school, but this is the day I catch up all week. This is the day I can meet with Mr. Johnson, and he'll show me what I missed in math class.
Yeah.
Okay? And my point is I'm complimenting your school districts on the 4-day week, okay?
Yeah.
You know, things have to change. The world has changed, all right? And we just have to make it better. And like you say, Howie, with the strategic planning, but it's a different world. Get out of this bureaucratic nonsense. Here I go again. I'm screaming and yelling and all that sort of thing. Okay.
Right.
Hey, Howie, I want to talk to you about something else. Okay. Multi-team,
all right.
Talk about that. And here's what I said this to you before. Multi-tiered involves a lot of people. Okay. And help me out here, Howie. Right now, we don't have a lot of people. We don't have enough counselors. We don't have enough school psychologists like you are. Okay? We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. Okay? So how do we do multi-tiered in this day and age and make it work? Plan it out, make it work. And we do need it more than ever. I might say that. Okay? What's your thoughts about that? You work with school districts on this all the time.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I'll go back. Excuse me. I'll go backwards to go forward. I mean, the first part of it is, again, the strategic planning, all right, so that you're working on the right student goals. You're doing your resource analyses, and you're moving the different players, the different pieces on the chessboard in the most effective ways. I mean, the first answer, Larry, is we got to maximize the resources that we have so that we can identify the gaps.
Right.
And we're not doing a great job of maximizing the resources.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, okay?
Yeah,
if the data is there, I will celebrate any school in the country. But to a large degree, every school can go up to the next level of improvement, okay? And so, you know, that's the first answer to the question. When we look at the gaps, we've got to figure out, all right, how do we actually close the gaps? Because what's happening a lot of times is we're playing what I call intervention roulette, which means that we think we know what the problem is, and then we start throwing spaghetti at the wall and trying different interventions. Mm. And every time you do an intervention with a student that doesn't work, you potentially make the student resistant to the next intervention.
Exactly.
So we've got to do high-quality interventions, which means we've got to do the root cause analyses as much as possible to identify why the student is having the difficulty. And we've talked about this in the past. I mean, Larry, you know, we've got to differentiate right now kids who have social, emotional, behavioral, and academic issues because of the pandemic, or were they pre-pandemic issues?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got nothing to do with the pandemic. But the pandemic is not the reason. That's not
exactly
the root cause.
Exactly.
The root cause is that the kid
the
didn't
problem.
Learn as
yeah, yeah, pandemic
the kid
or
didn't
no
learn
pandemic.
As effective.
The same problem. Yeah.
Right. okay? The root cause is not the pandemic. It may be, as an example, because the student didn't learn as effectively through virtual learning, or the student didn't get as much learning and as much contact time with the teacher because of the pandemic. So we've got to drill this down. Are kids having difficulty because they've never learned and mastered the skill, or because they have learning issues, or because they have motivational issues? And so that whole multi-tiered, we've got to look at using what we've got efficiently, look at the gaps, look at the reason why we have the gaps, and then try to connect the dots. And some of the connections right now, I mean, you know, it's real frustrating. You know, the reports keep coming out, and the Department of Education in Washington keeps telling us that our school districts still are not using a lot of the money that was given to us in three waves because, you know, through the pandemic. They're not using the money, but sometimes they're not using the money because they can't find the resources in their community. So, again, we've got to go, and this is not the panacea, but we do have virtual, and we've had it,
exactly.
We had it pre-pandemic. We've got virtual, you know, therapy, virtual speech.
Exactly.
We've got virtual. And the thing is, we've got to match the kids up who can benefit from that virtual, but that may be a percentage of kids, okay? So we've got to get creative in this context of, you know, shortages and so on and so forth, but we've also, at some points, and I hate saying this, but it's like when there's a plane crash and you've got all these people being brought into the emergency room, we've got to triage. And sometimes we've got to triage in the face of limited resources and say, all right, where can we impact the most students in the most effective way, knowing that we're not going to do it. We're already not doing it well for some students. Some students, we're going to have to provide it through compensatory resources. There's not a perfect answer.
We have to really drill down here, more dependent on technology. Hold on while I cough.
Right.
more dependent on technology. Okay.
Right.
Those people are out there. All right. And we got to do it. But like you said, Howie, and this is the key thing. Okay. It has to be planned out. And ladies and gentlemen, Howie can help you do that. He does know from what he speaks. Okay, believe me. Okay, I mean, it's projectachieve.info, and you can go over there. Howie, this is all good stuff. We'll do more on this. I'll tell you, how do you want to leave it as we wind down here? What do you want
why don't you talk about the teacher retention website and some of the resources
that we've
put together.
Okay, we got I will, and that's a good point. Teacher-retention.com. Okay, we have Howie stuff up there. We have Amy Gannell stuff up there. And this is really, really important professional development. I'm going to tell you again what I said at the beginning. You know, we talk about SEL. Their first thought is about the kids. Okay, but teachers need SEL too. They need to understand social emotional, not just to teach it to the kids, but for themselves. All right, because as I said it before, you if you're grumpy, you're not going to be happy in your work. 48% of teachers are thinking of leaving the profession. Okay, and the reason is because they're not happy in their work. Okay, and by the way, there's no pipeline behind them. Okay, so if you're one of those districts that's hiring people who didn't go to college for teaching, okay, they don't know anything about pedagogy, etc. You got to make them happy in your work. You got to drill down on all this stuff. This world is changing. Okay, and we just got to make this happen. It's enough, if I may, farting around with all this. Okay, Howie's been trying to do this in the school districts for 35 years. All right, so we can't afford it anymore. The whole system has changed. That's why you got to plan it out. Okay, understand it and understand how it impacts not only the students, but it impacts the teachers. Okay, if you don't get this correct, you're going to lose teachers, and you're not going to be able to replace them. And it's just trying to fill a leaky bucket of the water. It's just going to keep leaking. What do you think of that, Howie?
You did great, Larry.
Thanks,
pal.
You're a
good man.
Yeah, I believe it all. I'll tell you. You know, Bob Dylan, he stole the line from me, "The times they are changing," you know?
Yep.
We got to, you know, we just got to change things. I, I, I can't stand the fact, and this is true, that we must manage in a public bureaucracy, okay? And somebody's got to stand up there and make the difference. And I always say the simplest thing, we know that teenagers need more sleep. We got to start school at 10 o'clock, not 8 o'clock, okay? They'll be happier. They'll do better, okay? We know this kind of stuff. Nobody does it. We got to make sure we do it, okay? And we got technology that can work and make it happen. Okay.
All right. So let me put my last 3 cents in. All right.
Please, go ahead.
We've got great people out in our schools today. We do.
Yeah, we do.
Their hearts are in the right places.
They are.
But you know, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and so you know that's why we've got to look at the evidence-based people, the people that have got these evidence-based blueprints that are really giving us the roadmaps. And I think I'm one of them. I'll be honest
you
with
are.
You. Okay?
You are.
But the point is if we're going to do it, let's do it in the most effective and efficient way. And it may mean that we've got to change courses sometimes. And
yeah,
it may mean that we may have to put some of our favorite things to bed because they're not working.
But educators
care about these kids. They want the success. We've got to just help them collaboratively to get to that success.
Hear, hear. Projectachieve.info, everybody. Okay, talk to Howie. He'd love to talk to you. All right, good stuff. Howie, thanks a million, my friend. We'll do more, obviously. Okay?
All right, take care.
Okay, be good, buddy. Thank you. Enjoy that heat. Go put on your bathing suit. Go get some Gatorade. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay.
All right. Bye. Thanks, Howie.
Bye. You're welcome. Bye, Howie. Gatorade it is in 95-degree Little Rock today. Wow. That's hot. Okay. Gloomy and 60 up here in Maine. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. All the links are over there, like teacher-retention.com. See what we're doing. It's important stuff. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.